This audio recording is a service of Incarnation Catholic Church, a Roman Catholic parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. We invite you to visit us in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.incarnationcc.org. We thank you for listening. The following homily was preached on Wednesday, October 30th, 2024, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Be the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and Holy Ghost.
Amen. I'm going to be very focused tonight. You focus on one reading. I want to focus on one word from the first reading, obey. The reason I want to focus on this is because it is so horrendously difficult for us in our human nature to do that, to obey, to be obedient. It's something that is stressed. The first verse from the first reading today, children, obey your parents in all things. Everybody sits back and goes, yeah, kids should obey their parents. Yeah, is right on the heels of when he says, wives, be submissive to your husband. Hence, in the liturgy, we hear that wives are to obey their husbands. Obedience is huge, and it is against our nature. I should say our fallen nature. Father Tanqueray, a commentator on traditional spirituality, he defines obedience as a supernatural moral virtue. It's supernatural. Even Adam and Eve, who were created in a way that was perfect, they were sinless, they had all the perfection. They had infused knowledge of what God desired of them. He told them personally what he desired of them. And in this supernatural state of grace, they were disobedient. One thing. Here's this garden. It's got everything going for it. No, this is all yours and yours. Anything you want, but that. And what do? That. So even in a state of perfection, our free will lends itself to disobedience, if we let it. It's supernatural. So if we lost even what we had in seed form in Adam and Eve, now that we've lost that, we need to work really, really, really hard at being obedient. Father Tanqueray, in his very, very churchy and very, very lucid definition, the supernatural moral virtue, indeed, but kind of in a nutshell, want to look at obedience like this. One, obedience is not dotting I's and crossing T's to rules. That's part of obedience, but that's not obedience. And obedience isn't doing something that you agree with. That's agreement. If I come up to you after Mass and I go, hey, let's do X, and you want to do X, and you, yeah, okay, you're not obeying me. You're being agreeable to me. And we like that part. I'm obedient. I do everything that I want to do. That's not what we're talking about. Obedience occurs when you disagree. When you disagree with somebody, and you still obey what they say because of their position, that's a whole different story. And it is so absolutely difficult. It is, like I said, it's unnatural for us to do. We can't stand it. But nonetheless, it's okay. You got to start off, why? Why do we have to be obedient? Because we're God's creatures. It doesn't matter what you believe or anything. We're God's creatures, and the foundation of our relationship with him is absolute submission to his will. This is kind of sad. Animals and the weather and other, they're all submissive to God's will perfectly. We who are the pinnacle of God's creation in this order anyway, on this planet, we have such a difficult time doing it. Why? Because we're creatures with free will. They don't have free will. We do. So the necessity of this is to demonstrate as creature with free will, we are going to submit to God, not just follow his rules, but submit to his providence. And he wants us to prove that to him. And the only way he can prove it is when he sets up things down here like they are in heaven, and we abide by this order that he has placed in us. In Tanqueray, in his definition, a supernatural moral virtue which inclines us to submit our will to that of our lawful superiors insofar as they are the representatives of God. God's representatives. Always look at it. God knows much better than we do. I mean, we think we know, but he knows much better than we do that his representatives down here are fallible. They're frail. They're sinful. They are creatures. This is the reality. But nonetheless, he is still going to set up this order. I've said order a couple times. When we talk about orderliness, and our God is a God of order, man is not self-sufficient. Everything that I'm talking about here from a Catholic perspective is generally antithetical to everything that gets crammed down your throat by the world, particularly in North America. North America, we're all about our independence and our self-sufficiency. I mean, that's what formed this place. That's why people came here. I want to do what I want. Sounds good and very American, but at the end of the day, that's not how God set things up. And you can have that mentality and everything, but we still have a government, do we not? This whole idea that we're self-sufficient, I mean, it's antithetical to your Catholic life. Your Catholic life is just the opposite. Your Catholic life is disciplining yourself more and more and more to this understanding that you need to rely on God. And the way we rely on God is to be living within the order that he has placed here. So man is not self-sufficient. This is why we have society. I should say societies, because there are different places on the world, different cultures and things like that. They have different societies, but they're all structured. Every single one of them is structured because man is not self-sufficient. I mean, just look at nature. Everybody kind of, it's a no-brainer, really. Human beings are self-sufficient. Leave an infant without attention and see what happens. They will die in short order. We're not talking about infants. We're talking about when you get older. Oh, really? Like every time there's a hurricane and people just like flip out and loot and get, why? Because we don't have any water. We don't have any. Why? Because we rely on everybody else for our water, for our food, for our electricity. You got to be the ultimate prepper to be able to take care of all those things yourself, and nobody's like that. That's why I refer to it as roughing it. Nobody's self-sufficient. It's not a thing. Nobody's self-sufficient. You can live out your prepper life and all off-the-grid stuff and everything like that, but if you fall and break your leg, you're going to be trying to get a hold of somebody to take you to hospital. You get appendicitis, you know, help me. Help me. Who? Doctors? Not self-sufficient, are you? So again, self-sufficiency is not a thing. Superiors. The God put, why do we have superiors? Well, because heaven does. Heaven. The Blessed Undivided Trinity. The Blessed Virgin Mary. Seraphim, cherubim, thrones, domination, power, all the way down the line. There's hierarchy of things. There is an order to things. That's the way heaven's set up. And so if God created this place and he wants it to be like heaven, he's going to set up the same thing. There's not anarchy in heaven. No one's self-sufficient up there. Can you imagine that? Nobody's self-sufficient in heaven. But, you know, that it's heaven. He wants it to be like that down here. So, the church. Christ established the church. What did he say? You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. Not, hey, all you apostles. It wasn't Peter's confession, like your Protestant friends like to say. It was Peter. That's what it says. You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And then you had Peter, and then the other bishops, all the other apostles, and then they ordained priests to help them out, and then they ordained deacons to help them out, a hierarchy in the church. The world, same deal. We've got presidents, kings, governors, parliaments, whatever. But there's a structure everywhere. Everybody's got a superior. Are there limits to what our superior? Yes, there are. Hey, somebody's lawfully appointed over you, you got to do everything they say. No. But the only time that you don't have to do what your lawful superior say is if it makes you sin. I mean sin, objectively, not, well, I don't like it, and I think that may be a sin. You better know. You need to know that it's a sin. Or if it just, if they overstep the bounds of their authority. For instance, I'm a priest, right? I could go to St. fill-in-the-blanks anywhere around here and start going, next week I want to have the Wednesday Mass being this. They'd be like, we don't care what you want. Why? Because I don't have any authority there to dictate what liturgy is going to be said next Wednesday. So I'm overstepping my bounds, and nobody would have to obey me if I did that. So again, making a sin or overstepping their bounds, that is the only time. And you better be very, very careful, because there will be a reckoning as to when you can disobey. There are times, but it's generally not often. There are degrees of obedience. This is beginner stuff. This is 101. When you obey the commandments and the precepts of the church and the superiors that are put over you in the church and your superiors in the world, you know, when you start doing that, oh, I'm really deep in spirituality because I'm obedient to the commandments and to the church precepts and to my boss at work. No, that's beginner stuff. That's beginner. That's the dotting I's and crossing T's of rules. When you start to advance in your faith, then your obedience changes. You do all those things I just described, but all of a sudden you do it not because I'm following the rules and there'll be a reckoning someday. You ponder that it makes you more like Jesus. This is why we should do everything that we do, including being obedient. Is ponder what Jesus did. So the beginner, the 101 obedience things, that is doing things because you have to do them. Holy days of obligation, Friday, and these are things that we have to do. When you deepen your faith, you want to do them. You can reach a point where you want to be obedient, and you look for opportunities to validate your obedience, as opposed to trying to figure out when we can disobey. That's kind of a huge question I get quite frequently. Well, how much do we have to obey? Why are you asking that? Why are you asking that? Why? Unless it's making you sin or it's overstepping the bounds, obey. Because even if for some reason, again, obedience is when you don't agree with something, and you can disagree, and you very well may be right. Your boss at work, do this. Well, if we do that, something bad's going to happen with the business. You know, we'll lose profit margin, whatever. I said do it. Okay. You are not held accountable for it. And that happens in every context. You're not held accountable for it. If a superior, a lawful superior, tells you to do something and you try to correct them and you do it when they keep on holding to their guns and you say, okay, I'm going to do it. And what you said happens, guess what? You're not held accountable because you could, somebody sues somebody for something. Go, hey, what did you bet? Hey, I tried to tell them that wasn't going to work. And then all of a sudden it's like, okay, great. Thank you very much. Okay. Cause then it's on somebody else, the superior. So, you know, we need to understand this question, when can I be disobedient? Be careful of that, because that's just that old you welling up and go, oh, I don't want to be obedient. And these kind of things, again, they rub the wrong way on us. Okay, because we just don't like this. They said before, all these things that we hear about this obedience. It's antithetical to what the world teaches you. And this is very Masonic, which is demonic. The Masons are big on egalitarianism. Everything's equal. Everybody's equal. Everybody's equal. Egalitarianism. The scriptures, by talking about superiors and roles, they imply inequality. They imply inequality. The bishop can do stuff I cannot do because he's a bishop. I am not equal to him. Deacon Sakasa, he can do some certain things around here. He cannot celebrate Mass. Why? Because he's a deacon. He can't do it. We're not equal. He's a deacon. I'm a priest. He's the bishop. We're not equal. Why does everybody in this world get all caught up with this? That's not fair. My mocking voice, whiny. Yeah, fair. What's fair? There ain't no fair. The scriptures imply inequality. That word superiors. I've noticed this though. You never really hear it referred to superiors and inferiors. Why not? Superior, that's the opposite, is inferior. Because you're not inferior to them. They are superior because of the role that they hold. They are superior because they represent God in a certain function. You're not inferior to them, you are just subordinate to them. The term insubordination. It's not all about up in your face about, you're inferior to other people. You're not inferior, but we are subordinate to other people. It's all about the bishop. The bishop is subordinate to the Pope. So be it. This is the way things are. That's the opposite of what the world tells you. Everybody should be treated the same and everybody's equal. Wrong. Because I say so? No. Because the scriptures say so. This whole structure thing. And so, why do I have to be obedient? Because it unites you to God. It unites you to God. A lot of people don't get that. Talking about it as a supernatural virtue. What is obedience? It is subjecting your will to the will of somebody whose God has put over you. He wants this. If he demanded it of his son, who we read in the book of Hebrews, for instance, he learned obedience through the things that he suffered. Well, he's God. He doesn't have to learn anything. Well, obviously, in his humanity, he had to learn obedience through the things that he suffered. He needed to set aside his will. Can you imagine that one? Because our Lord has two wills, a divine will and a human will. We don't. We only have one will. We have our human will. He has a divine and a human will, and he had to submit both of them to God. In his divine will, he's equal to the other person of the Trinity. So that submission wasn't all that difficult. The submission of his human will is a whole different story. No, he's God. He came and died for our sins. Yeah. And he said in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, Father, if there's any way this chalice can be taken from me, but not my will, but your will be done. The Blessed Mother, the Annunciation. Hey, be the mother of Messiah. This is going to happen. How is it going to be? I don't have a husband. Well, this and that. Oh, I get it. Okay, fine. No. Be it unto me according to thy word. Our Lord Jesus Christ has been given a name which is above every name, that every tongue should confess and every knee should bow. Because why? Because he was obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Our Blessed Mother is the queen of the universe now. She's the queen of saints. She's the queen of martyrs. She's the queen of angels. Why? Because she was obedient. You look at the whole obedience thing. This is why we have angels and demons. The holy angels were obedient to their first call. The demons were not. They were disobedient. Now they're demons. Obedience is huge. St. Thomas Aquinas says, obedience unites us to God more than any other virtue. Think about that, right? Any other virtue, charity, all these other virtues that we have, every single virtue stems from your will. If you are charitable, it's because you will to be charitable. If you are uncharitable, it is because you will to be uncharitable. So if you can detach yourself from your will and submit only to God's will, you will be all those things that he wants you to be. Charitable, meek, patient, name your poison. You will have them if you obey and are submissive to God and his will. It's more meritorious as it is freely given. We receive graces from God. We receive the fruits of the spirits and everything. But at the end of the day, you have to use your free will to cooperate with these graces. Because if not, you're just a puppet on a string, and God will not have that. He wants you to make your own decisions. So in obedience, end game, you sacrifice your will. And our will is huge for us. And you sacrifice it. Kind of harkens to Romans chapter 12, the first go. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Offer yourself a living sacrifice unto God. What's that? Living sacrifice? Your will. A living sacrifice. Every moment of every day, putting your own will aside. This is what our Lord demands of us. This is how we enter communion with God. We enter into communion with him because we no longer have any will, or should not have any will of our own. No other will but his. This is obedience. Yeah, indeed. Dotting the I's and crossing the T's on commandments and precepts and all that other good stuff. But we should desire this. We should desire opportunities. Tell me that. Opportunities for obedience. Sort of like the litany of humility. Read the litany of humility and then pray it. Because don't pray at first, because you're like, I don't want that. So you're basically lying to God. Humility is nothing. We just don't, humility is bad enough. Obedience, you got to be very, very careful with it. Because like I said, it is absolutely unnatural for us. But it is also absolutely necessary to get into heaven. So that means that there's got to be a lot of work done between our birth and the final judgment. In the name of the Father, and Son, Holy Ghost.